Welcome to Driveline Podcast. My name is Christine Vinatieri Erickson. I'm the president of South Dakota Auto Dealers and South Dakota Trucking Association. This is our official podcast. Today with me, I'm so excited to introduce you all to Luke Lindbergh. He is the president and CEO of South Dakota Trade. Welcome, Luke.
Good morning, Christine. Glad to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So today, you know, we talk all things auto, all things trucking, and there are so many facets to the auto and trucking industries. And one of the things that you recently kicked off within the last year, and we've seen it flourish, is South Dakota Trade. We weren't the first one to do it, but you have the expertise behind it. Talk to me a little bit about what is South Dakota Trade? Why does it matter to South Dakota? We're in the middle, Midwest of the United States. Why do we care about trade here?
Yeah. Again, thanks for having me on. We couldn't be more in alignment, I think, our two organizations in terms of trying to help get our goods and products all around the world and across the country. Trade is heavily dependent on trucking, as you know. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But the real basis for getting South Dakota Trade off the ground is that every state has some form of an international trade office. And South Dakota really didn't have that function in place. And so about a little over a year ago, we got a group of 30 plus businesses together who said, hey, this stuff matters to us. And it really does. We have about 30,000 jobs almost in South Dakota that are directly supported by exports. We're the second highest state per capita for agricultural exports, for example. So we continue to be a powerhouse in that space.
Wow.
In reality, about 10% of the state's economy is directly attributable to international trade. So we're talking about some serious numbers here that really do have an impact on the livelihoods of folks here in South Dakota, on the jobs, the high-quality jobs people have. But at the end of the day, we do have some struggle areas. I would say if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Oh, for sure.
And we've been in a place where we haven't been leading on this issue set, and now we are. And I think we're starting to see some good progress, and certainly collaborations like the one that we have help us to tell that story more effectively, help us to continue to build upon the successes we have had, but then look to the future to find new ones as well.
Okay, so why was this important to Luke Lindbergh? Why start this organization? You know, I obviously know your background, but let's tell our listeners, what's your background that you felt, I'm Luke Lindbergh, I'm going to start this, and I'm going to lead? This is so important to jobs. It's important to our economy. It's a huge challenge to take this on from scratch. You started from scratch.
I never aspired to be an entrepreneur. I can tell you that right now. And I think my career up to this point really articulates that. I mean, again, I'm not kind of the creative business type. I'm not the Silicon Valley guy or the John Mayer of the world, right, who has these great ideas. You know, I'm kind of an executor is the way I look at myself. And my career has always been at the nexus of business and government. Mm-hmm. I feel that way, and largely in the international space.
Right.
And so I do think I bring a somewhat rarefied skill set in South Dakota. There aren't that many people that have traveled as many countries and things that I've been to. And so when God calls you into that right opportunity, it was really a bullseye for me. Mm-hmm. So a little bit about my background. You know, I started my career at IBM in the global business consulting space and helped U.S. government agencies, one of which was the U.S. Agency for International Development, implement programs globally, worldwide. I got recruited to come to Sanford Health and spent a few years working in the World Clinic Division there, where I traveled around the world and helped Sanford expand their global footprint, bring new ideas back to South Dakota, but also help use our existing expertise to help countries like Ghana and Germany and Vietnam tell their story and figure out how to deliver healthcare services more effectively. And then what most people know me for is my time at the Export-Import Bank. I was a presidential appointee in the Trump administration at the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and so served as the chief of staff and chief strategy officer there, which was the number two role, and it was the best job I've ever had up until South Dakota Trade. And really the reality there was I was helping U.S. companies export their goods and services all around the world.
Right.
That's what EXIM does. It's a check-writing organization that helps our companies make more in the United States and sell more made in the USA products. Wow. And so that was a real passion for me. I felt very fortunate to have had that opportunity. And so coming back to South Dakota, it was a great fit because what we're doing today is we're taking those same ideas and we're helping South Dakota companies, a lot of small businesses. Yeah. I mean, most of our programs are really not for major big commodity agriculture. They're designed for mom and pop shops who want to start exporting their products or get to that second or third market that they've never been to before. And so I'm taking that skill set. We put together a tremendous team of folks, five of us here across the state of South Dakota, to be there, to be the first phone call when somebody has a container ship stuck somewhere or they want to explore expanding their product markets. We're there to walk right alongside them and make sure they can be successful.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, taking that risk, you know, even though you mentioned not being the entrepreneur or, you know, you're the executor, taking that risk comes with challenges. And it sure is a calling to know, okay, this is where I'm being led to use my skill set. And certainly here in South Dakota, we're lucky to have you. We're lucky to have, you know, South Dakota on the map for saying, hey, we are one of the states that has a trade, South Dakota trade, and in helping our local businesses, I think is actually very, very critical. You know, and it's not just, you know, a former legislator. I know a lot of times whenever we say we're from Sioux Falls, they're like, it must not always be a great idea because we're, you know, Sioux Falls, we're the economic engine. And so for you to launch this statewide and, you know, sure, you're housed here, but you work across the state and have relationships across the state. And I think that your background really demonstrates that too, is relationships make the world go round, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have relationships and you're not able to pick up the phone, your background demonstrates that for us as a state as well.
Sure. Thank you.
You know, we've seen you in the news a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about a couple different areas. Being able to get the financial funding is a big darn deal, right?
Crucial.
For you to get that, for any small business or association or any of that, to have somebody believe in your vision and then essentially reward you to make sure that you're successful long into the future. Talk about that process, what that looked like. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the feeling a little bit about what it felt to be knowing you're getting that chunk of money to be successful, carry on your mission.
Yeah, so thanks. You know, I think to me, the crucial moments took place as we began to see some progress and get some wins under our belt. Mm-hmm. The Nome Rodent Administration was one of our early supporters. They invested in us through the Future Fund early on last year when we were first getting started. But they had expectations, rightfully so, that we needed to raise private sector dollars to support this initiative. You know, 41 states in the country fully fund their trade office with taxpayer dollars.
Wow. And we don't.
South Dakota took a different path, right? And I think it's the right path for South Dakota. I mean, I wouldn't have built this organization if it had been a government agency. If this had just been another bureaucratic part of the state government, I wouldn't have been interested in that role. But because of the opportunity, I felt that we could build something that was dynamic, was responsive to the business community, really business driven, was to me much more attractive. And so we're a public-private partnership. We've got over 30 organizations from across the state so far who have invested in South Dakota trade and become partners of ours. Certainly the Governor's Office of Economic Development continues to be an important partner, but we have other organizations that are just as much. In fact, we have a great board of folks that are actual exporters out doing the work every day. And then we have a steering committee of industry leaders from the Biotech Association and the pork producers and the corn growers and the Trust Association all coming to advise us on our strategy. So it really has been an all hands on deck activity. We have great support from a lot of folks. And then we saw in December that the Nome and Rodent Administration decided to double down their investment and give us some additional funding to continue to drive the ball down the field. And I think that's crucial for us going into the future because, again, I think those public dollars crowd in more private investment.
Right.
And if you look at the size of our trade office in comparison to many of our peer states,
it's very small.
We're still a little bit smaller than what those other states are doing. And that includes Iowa and North Dakota and Nebraska, our peer states that are surrounding us. So there's some more investment that will come through time, but we're building this in a very responsible, thoughtful manner. And I've gone around and asked all those states, What are your best programs?
Yeah.
What is successful? What's the highest return on investment? Mm-hmm. Let's take those items and we'll put them into our toolkit rather than taking just kind of the run of the mill, what everybody else is doing. Let's really focus on those high dollar value propositions that are going to get our state furthest, quickest, and sort of most successfully.
Yeah. And that's super smart, knowing that you have a small team. I mean, right. you don't have a team of 20 or right. 10 or, I mean, you're four or five people in your office. And so it's a fairly small team. So you have to be very pointed, very driven, very focused on
absolutely
where it makes the most sense.
I always use Virginia as an example. They have a $20 million a year trade operation.
Wow.
They take, I think, 15 to 20 trade missions a year. I mean, it's a massive operation. And I don't think South Dakota will ever be that, yeah. right? That's not a fit for our state, but it is does show you the size and scale and scope and difference of approaches on this.
Right. But it's also, even though I use this all the time with my colleagues and my state execs in other states, you know, sometimes South Dakota may get overlooked here and there. But, yep. you know, I say, you know, just because we're small doesn't mean we're not mighty.
Amen.
And we are. And Amen. A lot of times it is those relationships that, you know, my associations are very small. And so I have challenges of people saying, oh, yeah, it's small. You know, we don't know if we want to come into South Dakota. And I'm like, give me an opportunity. Let me show you.
Absolutely.
We do things differently here.
We do.
You know, I go to conventions from some of my other colleagues, and it's this huge pomp and circumstance. And I'm like, no, we're riding buses and we're going to dealerships and we're sitting there, yeah. but that's how we work is relational. And that's how deals get done is getting to know you and trusting you. And I see you out and about a lot. I see you hosting events. What's South Dakota Trade up to next with events? What are you hosting? Where are you going? What's next?
One of my favorite events that we do every year, it's sort of been adopted into South Dakota Trade. I had done it a couple of years beforehand, and now we've taken ownership of it, is our Midwest Agricultural Export mm-hmm. Summit. And this event is designed to do exactly what you and I are discussing this morning, which is put South Dakota in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
We invite ag leaders from seven states around the upper Midwest to come together here in Sioux Falls and really talk about how do we collaborate on agricultural exports as a region? Mm-hmm. How do we work together? How do we, find ways to partner and identify things that can help our region be successful? Because yeah. in the end, when we export soybeans down to Nebraska, they process them and send them overseas. It's all part of the same supply chain.
Exactly.
And it needs to happen in a way that it's collaborative and supportive. So all boats rise with high tide. So we're excited about that, the fourth year of that event. We always get great speakers. This year, I'll highlight early for you all, breaking news. For example, one of the panels I'm excited about is we have Jim Sutter, who's the head of the U.S. Soybean Export Council, coming. His counterpart, Krista Hardin, who leads the U.S. Dairy Export Council, and Dan Hallstrom, who leads the U.S. Meat Export Federation. The three of those are going to all be on a panel talking about how commodities, you know, work together to also promote exported products overseas. So we've got a number of other great speakers that are coming out soon here, but excited about that. We've got a delegation headed to South Africa this week of South Dakota companies.
Wow.
Excited about seeing there. You know, they're going to participate in the USA Pavilion at this big agriculture manufacturing show. So it's really designed on the business of agriculture, not on commodity ag. Mm-hmm. And that's an exciting opportunity. And then in the last week of June, we're taking a large delegation to Japan and Taiwan.
Wow.
Our Lieutenant Governor will be leading that delegation. Secretary Roberts will be joining us. Deputy Commissioner Jesse Fonkert is coming as well. And we're going to talk about all things to sort of foreign direct investment into South Dakota, mm-hmm. exports out of South Dakota. We have eight companies registered to come with us. They're going to be doing business-to-business matchmaking meetings, which means we're putting them in the room with buyers that want to buy their product. We're hoping to get some sales done while we're over there. It's going to be a very busy week. People come back exhausted, but you know, hopefully we'll have a good ROI, we'll get good sales done, and we'll build relationships that'll help South Dakota companies enter those markets for the generations to come. That's really the goal there.
Wow, that's great. That's exciting. And I think it's exciting for our state to be able to have those opportunities that didn't exist just a year ago. They really didn't. Or we're doing them by ourselves, onesie twosies. To have a collaborative effort that is focused and driven is absolutely critical.
Before our, if I can just chime in on that, before our trade mission to Mexico in September of last year, the last time our state took a trade mission was 10 years ago when Dennis Dugard was governor and went to China.
Wow.
And our friend Ryan Budmeier actually was at GOED at the time and helped plan that activity 10 years ago. Yeah. So it's been a decade, a lost decade of us not building those relationships and finding those opportunities for our companies.
Yeah, that's crazy. And, you know, I mean, if we can focus right here and make those relationships in other states, I think it just makes it better, and we're investing back in our South Dakotans here. Amen. As well. So I want to just transition a little bit and commingle. Yeah. Let's commingle our industries a little bit, because I think it's interesting for our listeners and our members. You know, our podcast is for our members, but it's also for us to get messages out, talk about the industries. Yeah. I know sometimes I get you know, beat up a little bit, because I am so strongly believing in a diverse transportation system. It's not just rail. It's not just trucks. It's not just boat. It takes a diverse transportation system for the world to go around. Now, am I impartial to trucking, and do I support my truckers and the trucking industry? Absolutely. That's where my alliance is. But we can't do it without each other. And we've learned a lot over the last few years with COVID and shortages and having to be really organized in the transportation system. And then you throw a strike in there every now and again, and we have issues. You know, in South Dakota, you know, trucking really drives our economy as well. 1 in 12 jobs is in the trucking industry. We have over 30,000 jobs that are here in South Dakota. And so talk a little bit about why trucking matters to South Dakota trade.
There's a lot of great examples on this front. One that I'll highlight is we have a shortage of access to rail for containerized exports. Mm-hmm. So people always think about those shipping containers they see on those big ships. And we have actually, we just had a USD Coyote Business Consulting team come do a study for us. And the data point that's now stuck in my brain from this great research report that they put together is that for every 3 containers that we're bringing into South Dakota from an import perspective, only 2 of them are leaving right now fully loaded.
Wow.
So a third of the containers are leaving empty. We're exporting a 30% air from South Dakota right now. And that's a real problem. I mean, it's a problem for the companies that own the containers because it's a waste of resources.
Not efficient.
It's a problem for us because our folks want to be exporting more. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have access to a containerized loading facility that goes directly onto the rail lines.
Right.
So what does that mean is that the trucking system, your companies, have stepped in and are getting that product from the point of manufacturing to Minneapolis, to Omaha, to get on those rail lines or to Sioux City or whatever, to go on the barges to get to those ports.
Right.
And without that crucial middleman playing that trucking role, it would not, our ability to export product would be zilch. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do what we do today, let alone grow our business. And there's some exciting growth opportunities on the horizon for South Dakota. And so absolutely, there's a crucial role trucking plays when it comes to exports and imports on both sides of it. Mm-hmm. We're focused on promoting made in South Dakota products, so we focus more on that side of it.
Right.
But truly value the role that your truckers play every day in making sure that product gets to its end destination.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Auto. Let's talk about why trade matters to South Dakota in the auto industry. We are very fortunate at South Dakota Auto Dealers. We have 100% of franchise dealers that are members of our association. However, we also represent power sports and RVs and independent dealers. So whether it's a franchise, independent, RV, power sport, we represent them all for that. So we talked a little bit as we were preparing for this about tariffs and why that matters and how hot the EV topic is. And you know, in South Dakota, we're just not early adopters in that EV market. But share the story we talked about earlier in regards to that, because I think it's really fascinating. And I think it's important that we're also protecting the people right here in South Dakota as well.
Absolutely. People I don't think really talked about supply chains or tariffs before 5-6 years ago the way, right. I mean, now it's a kitchen table topic almost. And so it's interesting because it's very esoteric and easy to get lost in the you know, details of what they actually entail. Yeah. But most people recognize that President Trump was the one that implemented tariffs on a lot of specifically Chinese products coming into the United States. And today, President Biden has maintained those tariffs. And so I think one of the great success stories under that trade regime between the two administrations has been specifically in managing the potential influx of cheap, highly subsidized Chinese EV cars into the United States.
Right.
If you look at Europe or other markets around the world that don't have those protective tariffs, what we're seeing is that China has subsidized their EV market. They've subsidized the battery manufacturing. They've subsidized the actual auto manufacturing, et cetera. And those cars are going to markets and they're actually displacing the domestic production of vehicles. So we've actually done a pretty good job of protecting Ford and protecting GM and protecting other American-made manufacturers of cars who your dealers buy from.
Right.
I can tell you, the Chinese don't go through auto dealerships to sell their cars. They oftentimes go direct to consumers, right? They bypass that middleman.
Which is a problem.
Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the great success stories in terms of international trade in the last 6 years has been the protection of American jobs that directly support the development of cars here in the United States. Because it shouldn't be that our workers here in the United States have to compete against cheap labor, subsidized batteries coming out of China for cars that are going to end up here in the U.S. market. And so the tariffs have counteracted that. They've enabled us to increase the price of those cars, and they really haven't taken off.
Yeah.
And that to me is a win for American, you know, workers. It's a win for car auto dealers. It's a win for all of us in terms of, you know, we're not bowing the knee to China to allow them to come in and own our production of vehicles in the United States.
Right. Yeah.
And kill off that workforce.
And they're cheap. I mean, they're not made to the other standard. And we certainly don't want those vehicles on our roadways either for that reason. So very fascinating. I think just hearing that and knowing what that means to South Dakota. I mean, before, we've been friends for a long time. And when you started this role, I remember we sat down at Josiah's downtown and had coffee. I'm like, why do we care about this? You know, like, talk to me about this. And so I have learned so much about the trade market just through you and your vision and passion, that I can't wait for others to hear your story, hear our story, hear, when I say our story, South Dakota's story on how this is really changing the economy. It really is making a big impact. And so, that's your vision with your team and the folks that are investing in that, I think is big. So what's next? What's next for Luke Lindbergh? I know you're traveling a little bit. I know you just came back from a family trip and you've got a couple of cute little kiddos. But what's next in trade, family, life for Luke?
Well, if I could share one success story first, if that's all right. I think it demonstrates what a great opportunity there are out there, great opportunities are for South Dakota companies right here. So, you know, the one that we've frequently featured is Advanced Sunflower out of Huron, and they've allowed us to kind of tell this story. And so, you know, they came to Mexico with us. They had a great experience down there on our Mexico trade mission. They sold a lot of product. 38 rail cars worth of product is kind of what they've shared. And so they are now expanding their rail yard at their facility in Huron to help meet the demand that they're generating for sunflowers down in Mexico. And I just think that's a wonderful story because it actually shows that this is how economic development happens. And that sometimes foreign buyers are willing to pay a higher price than domestic buyers are for certain products like sunflower seeds. They have a different use for them down there than we use them for here. And so those are the kind of things we want to continue to just share and encourage other people. The other thing is The U.S. Small Business Administration estimates that 41% of companies in America have a potentially exportable product. So if you're walking down the main street in Huron or Mitchell or Lemon or wherever you are in South Dakota, Aberdeen, if you count five businesses, two out of those five businesses should be exporting their product, according to the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Wow. Yeah.
It's amazing, right? And I bet I think the number is actually closer to 12% that are actually actively exporting right now.
Wow.
Well, we're here to help those other three, whatever it is, that we need to get into the business of exporting. So that's part of it. When it comes to me personally, this has been a tremendous opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of room to grow here. Again, mm-hmm. I've talked about from a development of the organization perspective, there's the client service side, which I think we're doing a great job at, but we just hired a new director of business engagement whose job, Rachel Whelan, she's tremendous. She's been a longtime staple in the Sioux Falls community, knows a lot of folks, but she's going to recruit more companies to help us close that gap between the 11 to 12% that are actively exporting today and that 40% that we're trying to get to by recruiting companies, telling our story, meeting with folks, figuring out what their problems are, helping them understand the programs and services we have to offer. So there's a lot of building blocks, foundational elements that I'm excited about doing. You know, on the home front, my kids are 5 and 7. They're great. We're exciting ages. My wife has recently launched her sort of music singing career in addition to her day job. So if you want to listen to Evelyn Riley, check her out on Apple Music and Spotify and everything else. She got her first song out there. I'm very proud of her for that.
Oh, great.
It's been a lifelong passion of her to be a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
She went to school in Nashville and did some work down there, and she finally had enough songs that she had personally written, she loved, that she spent some time in a recording studio and has begun to put them out into the ethos for everybody else to listen to. And I don't know, it's very, very neat for me to sort of be a part of that. And I wrote one line in one song out of the 9 or 10 she's recorded so far. So that's my only major contribution to her work, but it's pretty exciting.
And I've got a chance to listen to her. I used to run her mops at church, and we went to the same church, and she had, this was long before you were in the picture,
sure.
But she had come and done worship with our mops group and with another couple gals. And so I've had the opportunity to listen to her. So she's fantastic. So I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. I mean, let's do this again. I think that we're going to have to do another update as you continue to deliver, as you continue to have those wins. Let's continue talking and also working how our auto and trucking industry can be a part of South Dakota trade and what we can do to making sure that people don't forget about South Dakota, that we are mighty. We're small, but we're very mighty, and it's because the people that live here and our small businesses that are here that make South Dakota the great place to live, work, and play. So
that it is, I couldn't agree with you more. When people show up here, when they come visit us, when they see what we have to offer, when they look at the business climate we have, we're second to none.
Yeah,
and it's kind of the hidden secret, but let's not keep it hidden too long.
Exactly. I love it. Well, thank you, Luke, for being here, and thank you all for listening in to Driveline Podcast here. This is Luke Lindberg, President CEO of South Dakota Trade, and I am Christine Vinatieri Erickson, President of South Dakota Auto Dealers and South Dakota Trucking Association. Thank you, and have a great day.